Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Roy, CEO at the National Spine Health Foundation, and I'm your host for the Get Back to It podcast, where we tell real stories of healing and recovery. What does it mean to get back to it? It means overcoming injury through treatments that work in order to return to the people and activities you love, whatever that looks like for you. It means getting back to your life. We're here to share the success stories of those who did just that. And some of these stories, you're not going to believe. At the Get Back to It podcast, our goal is to tell stories of spinal champions who've been able to achieve a better quality of life through spinal healthcare. In today's episode, I'm delighted to be speaking with Jenna Bendinelli, who was managing a prior injury to her low back from 2016 quite well, until many years later when she experienced a familiar deep pain which had settled into her lower back. This initiated what would become a two-year journey for relief. She's now been enjoying all the things she loves once again without restrictions. Now that you know what to expect, let's get back to it and dive right into Jenna's story.
As a collegiate field hockey player, I loved weight training until I got overzealous with deadlifting and tore my L5-S1 disc in 2016.
For the following 8 months, Jenna worked with a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, and several physical therapists to relieve her pain, and it worked.
I had many minimally invasive procedures which all helped to alleviate my pain. They consisted of an epidural, an SI injection, a nerve ablation, a facet injection, and a second SI injection.
Over the next 4 years, Jenna lived an active life which included running, lifting, hiking, skiing, coaching, playing field hockey, and volleyball.
One day in November of 2021, while sitting at my desk, I experienced a familiar deep pain in my lower back, which began what would be a two-year journey to get my life back the way it was.
An MRI revealed a degenerative torn disc at the originally injured level, L5-S1. Unfortunately, the previously successful procedures failed to provide any relief this time around, so she scheduled an appointment with a surgeon.
I had a bone scan and discogram which confirmed undeniably that the disc was the source of my pain. This left me with the choice of a lumbar fusion or a disc replacement.
Jenna got a second opinion and, with the support of both surgeons, decided that the L5-S1 disc replacement was her best option to return to an active lifestyle.
In August of 2023, I underwent spine surgery at just 26 years old. After 6 weeks of recovery, I began 2 months of physical therapy to build core strength. At 3 months, the surgery pain subsided and I was able to increase activity.
Jenna experienced a setback when she had some pain in her SI joint, which is alleviated with a steroid injection, allowing her to continue her recovery.
In February of 2024, 6 months post-op, I was cleared of all restrictions and started jogging, tried snorkeling, hiked, hit golf balls, and skied.
Congratulations, Jenna. You're back to your life. That is amazing. That is amazing.
It's really fun.
Jenna, your story is so important because it shows the kind of success that can happen with a good action plan and perseverance. When you first injured yourself as a collegiate field hockey player, it must have felt sort of devastating at that point. Can you tell us more about that?
It was very challenging, both at a physical and a mental level. I started having trouble sitting through my classes and studying, and I lost my stress outlet of exercising. And on top of that, I had to go to practices and training sessions, and I watched my teammates get fitter and more skilled, and I was just falling behind. But I was able to get through it when I started changing my perspective. I took on more of an emotional and mental support role on my team. I started being more vocal with sharing my knowledge and sharing what I was seeing on the field. And my teammates were very open to me taking on that role. And it made it so I felt like I was still contributing and being part of the team. And so changing my perspective really made it so that way I could be happy again while still working through fixing the pain. And those, that ability to change my perspective has translated into other aspects of my life and allowing me to be happy in tough situations.
That's amazing, Jenna. You say that so beautifully and eloquently as I'm looking at you and we're recording this, but I know, and you're saying it with a smile on your face, but I know that that comes with a lot of challenge, right? And personal struggle and reframing the way you think about things sometimes can be the hardest part, the mental challenge with helping yourself to think differently about things. Did you have somebody that helped you through that? Was your coaching, was the coaching staff there for you or some other advisor or mentor that helped you with that?
My twin sister was on the team with me. And so having her help and encouragement through it, and then just everyone was open to hearing what I had to say on the team.
Super supportive network. That's amazing. And what a gift to have your twin sister on the team with you in college. That's amazing. Yeah. I didn't, that's a cool part of your story. I love that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So Jenna, did that mean that you were not really able to play competitively, with this injury when it happened?
When it happened, I had pain just walking, sitting, standing. So I wasn't able to do any form of exercising during that period. So I was mostly on the sidelines.
Wow. And that's what we talk about, how, you know, spine conditions put you on the sidelines of your life. And literally that happened to you. We talk about it metaphorically, but in your life, that was literally what happened. And so during that time, Jenna, you know, you told us about seeing different kinds of what we call non-operative therapists and therapies. How did you go about that journey? How did you decide, you know, what your action plan was at that point while you were in college and when this first happened?
So when I was home over winter break, my parents and I went and saw one doctor. He thought it could be a torn disc. And then when I went back to college, the only thing I could really do was physical therapy. Mm-hmm. So the athletic training department had a physical therapist come to campus twice a week. So I was seeing the physical therapist then. And then when I wasn't getting any better, when I came home for summer break, that's when I went to the pain management doctor. And he had me try chiropractor, acupuncture, and then started the minimally invasive procedures, which is ultimately what got me back on the field for the next season.
And when you say minimally invasive procedures, tell me exactly what you're talking about when you say that.
The combination of epidurals, steroid injections, and the facet injections and nerve ablation. Non-surgical procedures.
Yeah, non-surgical procedures.
It took a combination of steps to get me back, but we were able to get back for the rest of my college career.
That's amazing. So were you able to play when you went back to college at that point?
We worked back up to playing that year. And then my last year, I was able to participate the whole time.
Wow, Jenna, that's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's great. And I bet with the physical therapy that you had done, they taught you strengthening exercises and things to do for maintenance, right? So once you get better, mm-hmm. then you've got to maintain that. And I'm sure with all the exercise you were doing as a member of the team, that was sort of built into your life, right? You're doing these mm-hmm. core strengthening and, you know, back strengthening exercises and staying fit and active and healthy and off you go. And then graduation happened and right. And so then tell me what happened. So then what happened after that? So you graduate from college, you're done with the team. And now what happens?
So for the next few years until 2021, so about 2.5 years, I was normal. I exercised a lot. I participated in all sorts of activities. like volleyball, field hockey, skiing, hiking. I was a very active person. And then one day I was just working and I started feeling the pain again. And then I started panicking because I was like, this is familiar.
Yeah.
And then we started round two, which ended up being a lot longer.
Yeah. Jenna, did you go back to some of those non-operative modalities when this flared up again?
So I had continued doing my physical therapy even after college. And so I went from once a day to twice a day to see if I could just get away with that. And then when that didn't work, I went back to that pain management doctor and we started right away with the same minimally invasive procedures since I had so much success with them last time. But unfortunately, they did not work this time after we went through the whole list.
It just wasn't working. And so did the pain doctor order the MRI for you at that point?
Yes. So we had done the MRI when the first few procedures didn't work to confirm that it's still the same issue. And it was still just the small tear in the disc, but the disc was deteriorated.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a bummer. I mean, the crazy thing about herniated discs is that they can resolve themselves. But it's just, you might have a little ticking time bomb sitting there, like ready to rear its ugliness again. And kind of sounds like that was what was going on there. I mean, sometimes it's damaged and it's done. And now you've got to do something different, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that was my case.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm so delighted to hear you talking about seeing a couple of different doctors. We talk a lot about encouraging people to get more than one opinion when it comes to your spine care, because it is a confusing part of your body. The treatments can be confusing. And for your peace of mind, it's good to hear from different doctors, sort of confirming which path would be the best path for you. Can you tell us what that was like?
Yeah. So when the procedures weren't successful and we had only one more left, my pain management doctor suggested I go see a surgeon since he was sort of out of ideas. And then I went to that doctor and he was impressed about how much we had tried already because we went through all the steps he would usually start with, which was very encouraging that I was on the right path. And that's when he wanted me to then do a bone scan and a discogram to make sure that at this point, if we're looking at surgery, we want to be sure that the surgery we do will fix the pain.
Yeah.
And so before the discogram, we discussed that if it's positive, I'm looking at a lumbar fusion or a disc replacement. And so that is when I decided to go to a second doctor to make sure that what my first surgeon is telling me aligns with what other surgeons would be recommending at this point. And everything he said was aligning, which was very reassuring that I was taking the proper steps and that I am at the point where surgery was my only option.
Yeah, Jenna, that's so smart. Because they say, you get an opinion and then you get a second opinion. And if they're saying the same thing, then it's really a matter of choosing which is the right provider, which is the right doctor for you. But if they're saying two different things, you might need to see a third opinion to see.
Yeah.
what the majority like, then it gets to be confusing. So what a gift that you had, the ability to confirm that. And you are absolutely a poster child of how to pursue treatment for a back condition. This is exactly what people, need to do. And I love that your surgeon confirmed for you that you had exhausted all of the non-operative treatments before contemplating surgery as a final step. And, for many people, many surgeons will say to us, 80% of the time when patients go to see a spine surgeon, they don't need spine surgery. The condition can be treated with other modalities. But sometimes it really just requires a surgery to be fixed. It's really just it's an anatomical situation that that's the only thing that's going to take care of it. So, you know, that must have felt so good to know, like, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing the best that can be offered. And here I am. That must have felt so reassuring to you.
That was. It was also very reassuring that every single doctor I saw, their priority was making sure that they exhausted all the options. Because I was so young, everyone wanted to avoid surgery. And that was also reassuring because I knew we weren't jumping into anything that they didn't think was necessary.
Yeah. And Jen, I want to talk a little bit about the discography procedure that you had. And you said something really important, that your surgeon wanted to make sure that doing a surgery was going to alleviate the pain. And that's one of the things we talk a lot about in the foundation, is that, you know, figuring out the diagnosis and figuring out the right treatment for your condition. You know, sometimes it's hard to know if a procedure is actually going to be the thing that's going to fix the pain, because identifying the source of the pain can be challenging when it comes to spine conditions. How did you feel about that conversation with your surgeon? Did you have questions about that, or was that sort of a new concept to you, or what was that like for you?
I was very grateful that that was the focus, and he warned me that the discogram would be painful, but having done it, we were completely positive that the disc was the source of my pain, and we had eliminated other options through the bone scan. And so going into the surgery, both surgeons I talked to said a positive discogram means that either surgery procedure would provide me at least some relief. Mm-hmm. And so I was very grateful that when we decided to take that big step, we knew for sure that this was the right course. It was a bit frustrating that I had to keep jumping through hoops, getting diagnostic procedures, insurance approval. I switched insurance at one point, wow, which delayed everything even more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was very grateful that we knew that surgery was going to fix my pain. And so I was glad we jumped through those hoops, even though it took a while.
Yeah. Good for you, Jen. I mean, it's so hard doing all of that. I mean, that's part of our mission in the foundation is, you know, in the advocacy work that we do, is that we want to advocate for better access to spine care, because it is challenging, and it's compounded by the fact that you're in pain as you're going through this. You're in pain, you're debilitated, you know, you're not doing your regular life activities, and yet you have to battle to get to the treatments that you know are going to work and get you through it. And so, you know, hats off to you for sticking with that and getting through that. It is not easy. And, you know, I think you sharing that about your story is so important for people to understand. They've just got to persevere through it and just get through that part of, you know, dealing with their insurance companies, dealing with the coverage issues, working with their surgeon's office and team, and getting to that treatment that's going to get you definitively, you know, taken care of.
Yeah. It's all worth it. It's all worth it. It just sucks for a while.
Yeah.
But you get through it and then life gets better.
Right. So Jenna, then you were, faced, so now you've identified exactly the source of the problem. And now you've been given the option of two different surgical procedures, a fusion or a disc replacement in your lumbar spine. Tell us what it was like deciding between those two different treatment options.
Yeah. So I talked to both my surgeon and the second opinion surgeon about the two options. They were both the two that they brought up as the only two options left for me. And they talked about the lumbar fusion is a lifetime solution, but it reduces mobility and could wear out the adjacent discs, especially considering I'm so young. And with the disc replacement, it's not permanent. I will likely have to have it replaced in 20 to 40 years. No one's really certain, but it would let me maintain mobility and would not impact the other discs. It sort of seemed like both surgeons were leaning towards disc replacement being a better option for a young patient like me. But I did have time to go home and think about it and do my own research. And I read other people's stories about having disc replacements online. And I found a scientific study assessing patients' abilities to return back to sports after a disc replacement. And it helped reinforce what my surgeons were saying about the disc replacement being a great option for me.
Jenna, you are, again, such a, this is a model story. This is exactly, you know, what we are here to do, is to help people like you find credible resources that are honest and, you know, present the science around what the treatment choices are. You educated yourself, you empowered yourself with knowledge, and you made the best choice for you. Bravo. That is awesome. I'm just so excited for you to be sharing that with us, because that is exactly what we are here to do, is to, you know, tell people you've got to be your own self-advocate. And that means you have to educate yourself, and you've got to learn what the choices are and how to even make a decision like that. And you did exactly that. And I'm just so thrilled to be talking about that with you. It's just, it's amazing. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this path that you've taken with our audience. It is awesome. How difficult was it for you to find information about the treatment choices, and what sources did you use? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It actually wasn't that hard to find too many sources on the disc replacements. I just Googled it, really. Yeah. And went from source to source, and I found people's stories on YouTube and Reddit, and I just kept searching for information about just ability to do sports again.
Yeah.
And different searches found different results, and I just read them until I felt comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, that is awesome. And again, at the National Spine Health Foundation, you know, this is what we do, is we share stories like yours so others can learn from it. So thank you for sharing your story. Jenna, tell our listeners how you found us, the National Spine Health Foundation.
So I was looking up advice to get back to running after surgery. And there's not a lot of it, but I found the 5K that the National Spine Health Foundation does. And I thought that was awesome, because I want to be able to run a 5K again one day. And then I started exploring the website, and I saw the work that you guys do with providing resources and helping people be informed about what they have as options. And then I found the advocacy section, and I thought it was great getting to read other people's stories and how they got through it. And it made me want to also share my story, so that way I can take this period of time that was very tough and a big struggle and use it to do something good and help other people. And I just really got inspired by what the National Spine Health Foundation is doing.
Jenna, that is amazing. You have made my day, my week, my month, my year. Hearing from people like you who see our work, that it's meaningful and want to contribute and be part of it, is what we're all about. That is our whole raison d'etre. It's the reason why we are here. And I'm just, I thank you for being part of our community and sharing your story and being willing to step into the podcast and be an active part of our mission. So thank you for sharing that story. And it makes me feel like our work is worth it.
I'm so grateful that I can turn this into something positive, and that you're giving me the opportunity to do that.
Oh, you make me cry. Well, thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for taking advantage of this opportunity. And we hope that others will learn from you and be inspired by you. We know others will learn and be inspired by you. And we encourage others to also, you know, it's just so hard. The spine journey is a difficult one, but the miracles of modern spinal healthcare are giving people options truly to get back to their lives like never before in history. And it's not easy. It is challenging. It can be frustrating. You do need a great support system around you to maximize your recovery. It sounds like you had a really awesome support system around you. And, you know, we just hope for the very, very best for everybody. And everybody's condition is different. No two situations are the same because our bodies are unique and different. And so all the things that you did, Jenna, are just absolutely exemplary. You know, getting yourself educated, getting second opinions, asking the right questions, getting informed, and now jumping in to be part of the solution for others. It's just, I cannot thank you enough. I congratulate you, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to meet you, to talk with you, and to welcome you as a friend in the foundation. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. That is all very kind to hear. It makes me feel much better about my journey, and I'm so excited for what's next.
That's awesome. Well, Jenna, I'm going to get into our closing here. Is there anything you haven't shared or said that you want to say before we sign off?
I have one thing I'd like to say. Yeah. Advice for people getting started is just be patient. It takes a long time to figure out what is going to work for you. And the first thing you try might not work. It might take a combination of solutions. And even when you do find the solution that does work, it's going to take time for your body to heal and recover. I got frustrated a lot of times because I wanted to be able to keep up with my siblings and doing activities and be me again, but I needed to be patient, give my body time. It took several doctors, but at the end of the day, all of those steps are worth it, and that it does get better and you can get there. And a big part of that was measuring my success from week to week, not day by day. Not every day is a success. Not every day it gets better. But when you start looking at the bigger picture, you will see how far you've come and that you will get to where you want to be one day.
Jenna, that's beautiful. So well said. You are wise beyond your 26 years.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Jenna, it was an absolute delight to meet you, to hear your story of incredible perseverance, patience, and determination. Sharing it with our community will no doubt be helpful to people, helping them to gain the confidence and fortitude needed to make the right decisions for them as well. Again, thank you so much for being willing to share with us. At the National Spine Health Foundation, something we believe in most is providing hope for recovery through sharing stories of success and expertise. It isn't always easy to find someone to relate to, even though 100 million adults suffer from neck or low back pain each year. To hear more stories of spinal champion recovery and access educational materials about spine health, visit us at spinehealth.org. If you're interested in supporting our show financially, you can contribute at the link provided. Thank you for listening.